Well, we're a bit late this morning, but that's because there's 12 minutes worth of activities coming up this weekend that we have to report on. But right now, finally, it's time to bring in Brian Ross and Real News here on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Good morning to you, Marshall. Great to hear that there's snow on the trails there.
You know, and you know what's even better to hear? All the announcements of everything that's back in full this holiday season. We missed it for the past 2 years, and it's nice to have all these things back again.
That's right, with the Christmas tree lighting and sharing this weekend.
Yeah, Santa's going to be at the library, actually.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And
the Historical Society's got some cider and donuts for everybody, so it's
yeah, that,
great.
During the tree lighting ceremony, that's right, and the luminaries will be lit in Sharon. But Santa will be, of course, not in the library because he doesn't go to construction zones. He'll be at the Legion Hall. That's where the library is set up while they're doing the renovations there. I have to say something, Brian. I don't know if you're going to agree with me or not. What happened with the United States-Iran soccer game, it was disheartening. It was built up so big. It was, you know what, it wasn't even about soccer anymore. It was about countries and political governments. And the Iran team is paying the price for it now that they're home. When the game becomes bigger than the sport, that's not what the World Cup was all about.
No, but the politics of what's going on in the world are so very important, and it's sad but not surprising to see what happened in Iran, where people were actually cheering that the Iran lost, the U.S. won, the team supposedly facing retribution for failing to win. They played their hearts out. Both sides did. You know, it wasn't a lopsided game by any means, but. You know, you think back to the Olympics in Germany under Hitler, where the U.S., did so very well and sent a message, and that was, I think, part of what was going on here. But if I think if the U.S. had lost, I hope, for the most part, the United States still can be a good loser.
Right, yeah, that's well said. All right, let's go on to something which is pretty big. We'll see how it goes, and that is, finally, the U.S. Got its hands on Donald Trump's tax returns.
That's right. They've been turned over. We don't know if it's in hard copies or electronic form, but they have them, and they are permitted under the law that applies here to actually put them in the congressional record if they choose to do so. So I guess that committee has another 30 days before they're out of business and the Democrats take over. I mean, Republicans take over. Democrats no longer chair. And already we're seeing that the presumptive new House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, if he can get all his people wrangled together, is talking about opening investigations into the investigations. So, you know, we can predict what's going to happen there for the next 2 years in the Republican-controlled House.
But the interesting thing about the tax returns being turned over is now, sooner or later, whether it's political or whether Americans will find out what the story is in those 6 years of tax returns.
Exactly.
And that will follow Donald Trump into the elections.
You know, it's such a strange thing because until now, in modern times, every president, everyone running for office, and every president has made public their tax returns just to assure Americans that there are no special hidden interests or anything like that. This is only a big story because Trump refused for so long to make them public and makes everyone wonder, well, what is he's trying to hide? And I think it's, as the Times has already reported, the New York Times, you know, he took huge, huge losses and is, you know, due some gigantic refunds, and that's under audit now. So we'll get a better understanding of what that was. But let's remember that, you know, real estate developers have a number of unique carve-outs and, I guess you can call them loopholes, that allow them to write off all kinds of losses, sometimes just paper losses, to get their tax bills down to nothing.
Yeah, it's I never understood when he was president why he just didn't allow them to be released back then, because he had his supporters. Nothing was going to happen to him. He had the Senate. He didn't have to worry about the impeachment becoming actual, kicking him out of office, and it would be behind him now by several years. So that's my take on the matter. I mean,
but you know, I think Marshall, the other thing is it may go to the fact that it will reveal once and for all that he's not really as rich as he has always claimed, and falsely so it seemed according to the reporting. And that's probably the most important thing to a man like Donald Trump. He wants to be on that Forbes billionaires list, and this may cut into his credibility on that score.
All right, and it looks like the House is going to get involved and try to avoid this rail shutdown, which could be at this time with what's going on in the world with the financial markets and everything, which could be a crusher.
It really could. Joe Biden has always been Union Joe, and so this was obviously a tough decision for him, the one that he made, saying that a rail strike would really penalize the whole country and affect all kinds of men and women, working men and women, union members across the country. And he made the decision. The Senate, pushed by Bernie Sanders, insisted that there be included in this provision, forced on the workers and on the companies, some paid sick leave. Stunning to me that railroads hadn't already offered that, but yeah. That nevertheless is the case, and that New Deal will force that to be the case. You know, the unions don't like it. I don't think the companies like it, really, to have Congress tell them what their labor deal should be, but that's what it came to in a critical area like the United States rail system.
And have you heard the story out of San Francisco about the police are now allowed to use robots to go out and patrol? And I'm not talking about just robots, but heavily armed robots.
You know, it is the ugly part of the 21st century. It seems to me that's kind of makes it more likely they'll be using a lethal force when they can do that. You know, just like the drones that we and others fly over war zones and use them to attack. You know, there's no human connection. Somebody sitting in a control room in Nevada is firing Hellfire missiles in Iraq and Syria and all around the world. You know, when you take out that human connection, it just seems to me it makes it more likely there's going to be the use of lethal force.
All right, and one final note for me, and that is, I can't believe it. I sit here, and I was shocked when I heard that Christine McPhee passed away, but I was more shocked to hear that she was 80-some years old. I never would have guessed it.
I know. Makes you feel old, huh?
Real old. I used to follow her around. Well, once again, we're in the holiday season, and once again, the Sharon Historical Society and the Hotchkiss Library getting together, and it should be a beautiful Saturday and Saturday evening on the green in Sharon and with Santa for the library at the Legion, the luminaries, and the tree lighting ceremony, and the refreshments afterwards at the Historical Society.
Yeah, we're counting on you and the weatherman to hold off the rain if we can for that day. I see it in the forecast, but
hopefully it will just be showers and it'll be just a little in the afternoon. Hopefully we'll see what happens. It's a little early in the week to worry about this right now.
But as you say, we're not quite free of masks, but we're really free of the fear, I think, at this point. I see former President Bill Clinton is now tested positive. You know, there's still cases out there. But the sense is that if you get it, you can treat it, and it's not what it once was.
That's exactly right. There are treatments for it and recovery for it. Well, Brian, I want you to have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Lots to talk about next week.
A lot. Take care,
okay.
Brian.
Bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here this morning on The Breakfast Club on Robinhood Radio.